And a warm welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church and for this special evening of Believer's Baptism. I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bible with me to the book of Acts, chapter 8, please. And I'd just like to share a few thoughts with you from the Word of God as we prepare our hearts for the baptismal service. In Acts chapter 8, please, Acts chapter 8, I'd like to highlight the importance of baptism and why we as Bible-believing Christians are to take such a step as baptism. Acts chapter 8, in verse number 36, it reads, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Then in verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And verse 38, it reads, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Within this passage of Scripture, we have an event that took place in a man of prominence, a very important man that was traveling back from Jerusalem, serving his queen. And the Bible teaches us that this eunuch who served the queen of Ethiopia in verse number 27, as he was traveling back from Jerusalem, the Bible teaches us that he was reading a portion from the Word of God, an Old Testament book by the name of Isaiah. And God's Spirit led a man of God by the name of Philip. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." So Philip, being an obedient man of God, he did as he was directed. And he said to this gentleman, this eunuch, he said, "As you are reading portions of Isaiah, do you have an understanding of what you're reading? Do you understand the words that you're reading?" And then the eunuch responded to Philip by saying in verse 31, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So Philip the evangelist, he simply asked the eunuch, "Do you understand the words that you're reading?" Because Philip could hear this man was reading parts of the Old Testament book by the name of Isaiah. "Do you understand what you're reading or who you're reading about?" And with humility, the eunuch said, "Well, I don't understand, but I'd love for somebody to show me and help me to have some understanding." So Philip did so, and the Bible teaches us he climbed up into the chariot and he began to explain the very verses that this man was reading from the book of Isaiah. And it so happened this man was reading from a chapter of the book of Isaiah that makes reference to the coming Savior, the Messiah. It was Isaiah chapter 53. And note then verse number 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." So Philip the evangelist explained to this man that was no doubt a man that had a spiritual interest, these verses out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53, are in reference to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us in verse 35 that he preached unto him Jesus. And as they continued to make their way along the journey, the Bible teaches us in verse number 36 that they came to a certain water. We're not told which water. It could well have been the Jordan River. And the eunuch asked Philip an interesting question that we read earlier on. And he simply said to Philip, "What would hinder me from getting baptized?" Now, why did he ask such a question? Could it be that Philip had, as he was teaching about the fact that this Messiah, this Savior, is indeed Jesus Christ, Messiah promised throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, and as God began to work in the eunuch's heart, maybe the eunuch remembered or was mindful of seeing people get baptized. Because back within that time, there would have been Christians that had placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. So I dare say that he had some sort of an understanding. He'd seen baptism take place. It could well have been in Jerusalem itself that he had seen people get baptized, immersed under water. And therefore, the eunuch asked the question, well, why can't I get baptized? What would hinder me from getting baptized? And Philip's answer was very direct. There in verse number 37, where he said, if you believe with all your heart, believe in what? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Because remember back in verse number 35, Philip preached unto him Jesus. He preached to him that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And the evangelist said to the eunuch, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, your Savior, then you can be baptized. If you will place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may get baptized. And then we see in verse 37 that he makes a confession. He confesses with his lips what he believes in his heart. Note then verse 37 once again. The eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So we see a point of decision. This eunuch, after a period of searching for truth, we're not told how long he was involved in searching for spiritual truth, but it just so happened that God had his number, and he could see that this man was searching for the God of the Bible. And as this man was reading the Scriptures, God sent one of his servants to him, and help them to understand that these verses from the Old Testament Scriptures are in reference to the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And on that day, that eunuch confessed with his lips, he believed in his heart that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And he received him as his Savior. He openly confesses that. He makes a deliberate decision. And my friend tonight, biblical baptism is not a means of salvation. Biblical baptism is simply a declaration that we have received God's salvation. And this is exactly what Philip the evangelist said to the eunuch. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior, if he becomes your Savior, then you may be baptized. And without hesitation, the eunuch confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as the promised Savior, Messiah, foretold within the Old Testament Scriptures. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So at that very point, this man made a commitment to Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And my friend this evening, that is the only prerequisite to believers' baptism, is faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that we're saved by the grace of God by faith, not of works, the gift of God. And God offers that free gift of eternal life to all, for men, women, and children, if they will just simply place their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And this eunuch had seen baptisms take place. And it was obviously attractive to him. He was obviously a man of spiritual desire. And he said to the man of God, what would hinder me? Or can I get baptized? Well, Philip said, well, before I'll baptize you, you need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and you need to receive Him as your own personal Savior. And my friend this evening, this is what biblical baptism is all about. Baptism, biblical baptism, by immersion, note there in verse number 38, the Bible teaches very specifically, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The word baptism means to immerse, to place under, to plunge. It never means to dip. It never means to sprinkle. That is dipping. That is sprinkling. Baptism always means to immerse. It is a literal translation of the of immersion. So he immersed him underwater. This is biblical baptism. And biblical baptism is for all those that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And when the eunuch confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he made a definite commitment. Straight away, they commanded the chariot to stop, and Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and the Bible teaches us that Philip the evangelist baptized the eunuch at that very point, because he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Why is it so important to be immersed when it comes to baptism? Well, it's very important that we understand and we are reminded of the fact that baptism does not make you a Christian. The Bible teaches us that we're born again by the Spirit of God, by confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We, as Christians, we take this step of obedience to identify with what Christ has done for us. In Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6 for a moment. Verses 3 to 5. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. It reads, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Why is baptism by immersion so important to us as Bible-believing Christians? Well, the reason simply being is that immersion pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That in Christ we died. He paid for our sins. And in his burial and resurrection, we arose from the dead spiritually to walk in newness of life. So baptism by immersion is so critical, and it is biblical, and it is the only form of baptism found within the pages of the Word of God, because it pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So every time a person gets baptized by immersion, we are eyewitnessing with our very eyes the gospel. The fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again in newness of life. And when a man, woman and child receives Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, and they're prepared to identify with Jesus Christ, unashamedly declare publicly, I'm a Christian, I'm not ashamed of it. That's what baptism is all about. And that's what we're declaring. And this eunuch must have seen individuals get baptized. Because he asked the question, what would hinder me from getting baptized? And thank God that there were Christians that were prepared to unashamedly proclaim their faith. That had a part in this man's salvation. And as we see a baptism this evening, we will see the gospel pictured before us. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is why the Bible makes reference to baptism as the first step of obedience. In verse number 4, at the end of that verse, it reads, we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism is for that individual that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Just like the eunuch, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believed in his heart. He confessed with his lips. There was a point of decision where he believed and he accepted personally that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And upon that confession, he was born into the family of God by the Spirit of God, and therefore he identified, he openly declared, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and therefore he was baptized. That's what baptism is all about. There are some people that choose to believe that baptism is a part of our salvation. That teaching is not found in the Bible. The Bible teaches us we're saved by the grace of God by faith alone. Baptism is an important step, but it is the first step of obedience. Not to become a child of God, but to openly declare, I am a child of God. And as we witness the baptisms this evening, we'll be seeing and hearing of ones that are openly declaring their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a blessing. That's a wonderful thing. And I'd like to encourage those this evening that are taking that step of obedience, that baptism not only pictures the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it pictures a new life. We died with Christ in our sins, and we've been raised to newness of life. And I'd like to challenge each one that is getting baptized this evening concern the importance to press forward in obedience to Jesus Christ. As you take this major step of obedience in believers' baptism, I'd like to encourage each one of you to continue to walk in newness of life, to continue to walk in obedience to the Word of God, to declare that you're a child of God by being baptized. But beyond that, continue to walk in obedience. Don't just stop here. A lot of Christians stop right here. They take this step of obedience, there it stops. No, that's just the beginning. It's the first step of obedience. We're to walk in newness of life. So men, those of you getting baptized this evening, I'd like to encourage you, as you take this step of obedience, may this not be the last, but but may it be the first of many to come. And therefore you can give evidence that you have that newness of life in Jesus Christ. And we'll rejoice with you. The eunuch simply asked Philip the evangelist, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And the evangelist just simply said, "If you will believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, you may." And I'd like to encourage you this evening, if you've yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior, I'd like to encourage you as you hear the testimonies tonight, may it be a challenge to you concerning your standing before a holy God. And for those of us that are Christians, for those of us that have been baptized, as we witness obedience this evening, may that encourage us afresh to walk in obedience to the Word of God and reflect that new life in Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer.